Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, once again, it is time. It is time for the David Bowers Awards with your host, the David Bowers. And we have special guests from Houston, Texas this time around, Dimitris Rail, and from London, England, Robbie Boyd. Also, the sons of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Frankie Avalon and Eden Everly. Actually, I should say Frank Avalon. I don't want to get him upset with us. And our Indie Artist of the Month, Rockin' McTayla, as well as our entire crew here at the Asylum. And now, here is the voice of indie music himself, the David Bowers.
Well, thank you, John Bon Jovial. So good of you. I want to thank our engineer, Nick the Geek, who is also standing by with us. And a special thanks to you, our listeners in the audience out there, for joining us here on this Sunday for another 2 hours of rock and roll and all kinds of music, actually. We don't limit to any one genre. We've got several covered here today, as John Bon Jovial just told you about our guests. We want to get right to that. I do want to take a moment to thank our house band, and that would be also from Texas, coincidentally, Titty Bingo. John Bon Jovial, do you play Titty Bingo?
I love playing Titty Bingo. It's one of my favorite things to play with.
You do have a way with words. Thank you very much, John Bon Jovial.
Yeah, I've often wondered we could call it Breasty Bingo.
Yeah, we could probably get arrested too, but
there's booby bingo. There's
Well, you know, along that line, you want to listen to the end of the show for next month's guest, who will fit right in with this subject material. You'll want to be listening for that, because that's going to be really cool.
We have all kinds of prizes up our sleeves.
Oh, and I'm not even wearing sleeves today. But moving right along, we are going to have to get Titty Bingo back on the show. And one of these days we'll play the entire theme song for you, because it comes from a great track by Titty Bingo. The important thing for you is check out their music. You can check them out online at tittybingo.com. And you can also buy their music. Their latest album is a live album called Live at Pertinale's. It's done at a major club in Texas, and it's the next best thing to seeing them in person. Now, remember, this is the show where you and our guests pick the awards. There's no nominating committees. There's no voting. There's none of that garbage. We just feel that if somebody or something deserves an award for being exceptionally great or exceptionally stupid, they should get an award. Therefore, with all the award shows going around, we made this where every show is an award show. So remember, if you've got something or someone you think deserves an award, just email me, david@thedavidbowers.com. Put awards in the subject line, and who knows? We may award them on the air, or we may just laugh at you. I don't know. It just depends on our mood that day. Moving right along here, John Bon Jovial.
Yes, sir.
What have you got for us?
Well, I've got all kinds of tricks up my sleeve today, David, but one of the things that we do want to let you know about, because this is a limited edition, and anybody that has one of these is going to be the talk of the neighborhood and the envy of everybody else, and that, of course, is the official David Bowers Awards T-shirts. And there are only they're the only official T-shirt of the David Bowers Awards, and they are available only on our website at thedavidbowers.com. That's thedavidbowers.com. We keep the price down by taking no profit from them, and they're strictly for our fans and followers. They're high-quality tees in black and white, ladies and men's sizes, so order now. They're only $14.30. Please order now. We'd love to have our people out there wearing these things nationwide and worldwide. Coming up on the David Bowers Awards, we've got Frank Avalon, we've got Eden Everly, and those two last names may sound kind of familiar to you, as in Frankie Avalon and Don and Phil Everly, the Everly brothers, Michaela and Dimitris Rail, and from Merry Old England, we've got Robbie Boyd.
And that we do. Robbie will be joining us in just a moment. First, we want you to listen to some of his music from his brand new release. This is called, the title tune, So-Called Man.
A faithful friend. Have a little heart for the man in the street. Where would we be without the beat? Once we're young, now we're only getting older. Take a little time to remember why you're in December, but it feels like mid-July. Hearts melt, Orion's belt is always round the corner. A little heart for the man on the street. Where would we be without the beat? Once we're young, now we're only getting older. Take a little time to remember why you're in December, but it feels like mid-July. Hearts melt, Orion's belt is always round the corner. The man on the street, where would we be without the bees? Once we're young, now we're only getting older. And how? Freedom wins when suffering ends, and love returns when trust begins. And how? Do you know when love's real? Lose all your senses. Was history. Have a little heart for the man in the street. Where would we be without the beat? Once we're young, now we're only getting older. Take a little time to remember why you're in December, but it feels like mid-July. Hearts melt, Orion's belt is always round the corner. Take a little time to remember why you're in December, but it feels like mid-July. Hearts melt, Orion's belt is always round the corner.
That's Robbie Boyd and the title tune from his latest release, So-Called Man. And on the line
excellent.
With us right now,
excellent.
From merry old England,
hello.
Robbie Boyd, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so glad to have you here again, back on the show. It seems like it's been about a year since you were here last.
I know, yeah, good to be back.
Great, and a great new release you've got. Tell us about this.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's sort of first official debut album, which is just very, very exciting, and it sort of came out on iTunes and everything last week, and been getting good reviews, and it's just really, I'm very proud to release it.
Well, we're proud to have you go along with the release here on our show so that we can get to play it for all our listeners and, of course, have an excuse to talk with you again. And you were over here. You got to spend some time over here making some connections in the U.S. last year, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. In September, I was invited by the British government to Nashville to go and write with some big songwriters out there for 2 weeks. And it was just one of the most incredible trips of my life. And, you know, we were writing on Music Row twice a day in sort of groups of three or four, and I was writing with some pretty big people like Daisy Mallory, Steve O'Brien, Roger Cook, Rhett Akins, James Otto, and, you know, it was just amazing. I loved it.
Well, I'm glad you did some name dropping there, because I was going to ask you if you would drop a few of the names of the people that you got to work with, and I'm just sorry I couldn't get up to Nashville to meet you while you were here, but we're going to have to get that rectified. We're going to have to get you over here for a tour one way or another here
pretty
soon.
Yeah, well, exactly. My plan is to, you know, in 2015 to really focus my attention on America. So yeah, I'm definitely planning on coming back at the beginning of next year.
Tell us.
Well, we would love to host you down here in Florida. It'd be great to see you and show
That'd
you some
awesome.
Of the sights down here.
Definitely.
Right.
One of my songwriting partners actually lives in Florida, so I'd love
really?
To go and check it out.
Well, my first question for you as far as Nashville was concerned, and I know the experience that you had there was, I'm sure, incredibly positive.
Yeah.
But the thing that I need to know is, did you try any of that Tennessee barbecue?
The, beef or chicken?
Oh,
or
yeah,
anything?
just the everything.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
think
that's
so. My favorite is the pulled pork. That was
you got to love
there
that
you go.
Really floated my boat.
Oh, yes.
and the ribs as well. The ribs were very good. I always love some ribs.
Robbie, tell me something now. Tell us about So-Called Man. Give us a thought on what the song is about.
Well, so that song is actually called Orion's Belt, that one that you played. That's cool. That's cool. It's the first song on the album. But the actual So-Called Man comes from the last song on the album, which is called Never Neverland. And it's they're the last words on the album of that song. It says, never, never land, never going to be a so-called man. And I guess that particular song is sort of just about, you know, not feeling like you have to fit in necessarily being an individual and, you know, following your dreams and all of that, which a lot of the sort of imagery and world that I like to create in my lyrics evokes. And, yeah, I don't know, it's just 12 songs which... You know, a lot of old songs on there, and some new songs, and I just kind of feel it's a nice representation of who I am and what I've achieved with the band, and it sort of, I don't know, goes on a bit of a journey, and you know, it's quite eclectic in terms of the instrumentation, in terms of the stories on there. You know, it's sort of everywhere that I've been in my life over the last 4 years and everything I've experienced. And, you know, I've got a few songwriters that I've collaborated with in the lyrics and in a few of the songs. It goes on a bit of a journey, I guess.
And we've come to expect as you put it, the eclectic instrumentation, as well as the overall sound, you've come out with some really, really listenable music, which is, you know, that's not always prominent in today's music world, but there's one question about that I want to ask, because you have a tradition over there that you participate in that a lot of Americans are not really familiar with. And the last time you were on, I didn't have a time to pursue this with you, but I think we've got 10 or 15 seconds now. So I'm going to ask you, tell us exactly what busking is.
Yeah. Well, busking is a big part of who I am. And it's you know, performing on the street for money or not,
or other considerations.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been a big part of who I am. It's sort of built up my confidence as a performer. It's built up my fan base around the world, because I do it in a very touristy area in London. And it's been a great way to, you know, raise funds for recording out my albums and just getting my name out there and getting people hearing my songs. And, you know, I would highly recommend it to anyone. And maybe, yeah, you know, I'm lucky that I live in London and it's sort of easy for me to do. But it's funny, you know, there's quite a big buzz about busking at the moment. I'm actually being interviewed on the BBC tomorrow morning about my busking. And, you know, there's this program coming to London and around the world actually this week. They're trying to create the Guinness Book of World Records for the biggest joint busk ever. But, you know, busking has been amazing for me. You know, it's enabled me to play in Paris, in Austria, in Argentina. It actually was the reason why I went to Nashville as well, because I won sort of best busker in London competition a few years ago. And then, you know, it allowed me to busk on the roof of the O2 Arena as well, which is so just so many opportunities have come from it. And it's amazing.
That's fantastic, and it fits right in so well with what we have heard so many times on this show, because we aim this show not only at the fan listener, but also at the upcoming indie artists, and we've talked with a lot of them. We have a lot of them on the show. We have another one that we've just come in contact with, a lovely lady by the name of Michaela, who's going to be rocking for us a little bit later in the show. But all of the artists that we've had, when talking about upcoming artists, one of the things they are virtually unanimous on is if you're going to make it in this business at the start, you've got to play. Play every chance you get, everywhere you get. And what you just pointed out with the idea of busking and the fact of what it has accomplished for you just echoes that statement and magnifies it. And I thank you very much. That's a very good point. And I still can't wait for you to come over here to the States and and busk us in person.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to do that. And
Robbie, this is...
You know, the idea of 10,000 hours, you know, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers.
Right,
have you heard of that
idea? Yes.
Macklemore recently made a song on his new album called 10,000 Hours, and I guess, you know, he was talking about how the Beatles put in their 10,000 hours in Hamburg, and I guess, you know, busking is maybe my version of that. So I think it's important to really, develop your craft. And
it is every bit of that. Exactly. And you also get a feel for playing to people up close and personal. I mean, on stage is one thing. You have to know how to, you know, how to play to the audience, but you've got to know how to play to the individual before you can know how to play to a crowd. And,
And, you know, I've sort of integrated that with my live shows now. Like sometimes, you know, I come off stage and go into the crowd and just do it totally unplugged. And our last show for the album launch, you know, people really seem to appreciate that.
Awesome. Now, you know, this is an awards show. As a matter of fact, I just went through a little diatribe about how, you know, we don't have any nominating committees or anything like that or no voting. It's just if you think that someone or something is deserving of an award because of something exceptionally great they did or exceptionally dumb, we invite you to share it with us. Robbie, who is your award for? Who or what is your award for today?
Well, I suppose recently I've been reading a book all about the Grateful Dead and what they achieved. And so I'm gonna give my award to the Grateful Dead for what they achieved in, you know, breaking convention and not following everyone else in the music industry and doing their own thing and just being very innovative. And it's something that I'm sort of trying to emulate.
You're a man after my heart there, Robbie. I've been a deadhead for many, many, many years. That's excellent.
And I'll resist the temptation to editorialize on that comment.
Very good.
Very good award, and very well said, Robbie. We thank you so much for that, as well as thank you for being here with us today and sharing with us. Tell us a little bit about this next song we're going to play, and I'll try and get it right this time. The album is so-called Man. This track that we're going to play, hopefully, is called Less Than Friends. Tell us about Less Than Friends.
Okay, well, I guess it's one of the saddest songs that I have ever written. It was a song all about unrequited love, and it kind of you know, I was one of the newest songs that I wrote just before we recorded the album. And, yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of my lyrics are quite sort of mournful, but always seem to have a sort of hopeful twist, and the sound and the arrangements musically definitely seem to make people think that my music's happy. But this one is kind of a bit darker, and we sort of took it as the first single to radio, and I guess, you know, people seem to be connecting with it, because I guess everyone has experienced that feeling of unrequited love.
I would say that's a safe bet. Now, Robbie, before we let you go and play Less Than Friends, tell everyone where they can find your music.
Yeah, well, just literally Google Robbie Boyd, and you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and SoundCloud and YouTube, or my website is just basically robbieboyd.com.
Very good, and he does have some great stuff on YouTube, folks. If you want to get to learn a little bit more about what he's done, go ahead and check out the videos he's got on YouTube. He's got a couple of great ones from last year. I know there was one that was a particular favorite of mine there. Check it out. And Robbie, we'll look forward to having you back here again, and hopefully
great.
Next year maybe we'll have you back here in person.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love that.
Great. Thank you so much.
Look forward
to it. Robbie Boyd from London, England, and this is from his latest album, his first full album release. It's called So-Called Man. This track is Less Than Friends.
Took a chance to know where watch myself burn as I light the wood. I don't have time to play those mind games anymore. You had me, but you wanted something else. And now you're left all by yourself.
right here on the David Bowers Awards. And next, we have, we have another discovery in our indie artist search, as a matter of fact. And if you are an artist, a group, or if you know someone that would like a guest shot on our show, all you have to do is send an EPK to David@thedavidbowers.com. Our panel will review them. We'll select future guests from the entries. As a matter of fact, we had a guest on last month from upstate New York, a group called Fight from Rome. And today, we have an exciting new female singer. Well, she's going to be new to some of you. She has been plying her trade for a while. As a matter of fact, she's been working on her career since she's about 7 years old. But this is your chance to get on our show. We'll give you the opportunity because we love nothing more than to be able to expose new artists and their music to our listeners around the world. And today, we're proud to have with us a young lady named Michaela. Now, some singers live to sing while others are born to sing, which is secondary, is kind of the case with Michaela. By age 7, she'd already made her first recording and traveled extensively with her parents, singing in auditoriums across the country. And at an early age, she found she loved the limelight and the thrill of entertaining. And that's a surefire feeling. If you don't have that fire, that feeling, then you're probably not going to make it in the entertainment career. But like most artists, she had to pay her dues, singing anywhere and everywhere, as we just discussed with Robbie Boyd from London. She sang everywhere she could, from singing the lead in her high school musicals, finishing first place in state vocal competitions, the Star Spangled Banner, of course, at sporting events, karaoke, open mic nights, whatever it took. Her big break came when she spent 2 years working with Terry King, a record producer who arranged more than 40 of her original songs. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Give me another drink. Together, they tested the waters. They released a demo, which was picked up by dozens of indie stations around the country. Her music video became a hit over in England. I wonder if Robbie Boyd heard her. I wonder if Robbie's heard her. Robbie, if you're out there listening, be interesting to find out if you've already discovered this talent. More than 10,000 fans jumped on the bandwagon and asked for more, which ultimately led to a recording contract with V2D, that's Vision to Destiny Records, and singer-songwriter Debbie King, who's she's actually CEO, let me not get ahead of myself here, she's the CEO of V2D Records, said that Michaela is an amazing singer-songwriter. She can write songs in any genre. She's not only beautiful, she is a talent to be reckoned with, and her stage show is contagious. Her voice, phenomenal. So without any further ado, we're going to bring you a song by Michaela called Make Your Move, in which case right after we will make our move and be talking with Michaela. So here she is. Michaela, it's Make Your Move. And that is Michaela, and let me tell you, that sure do make you want to make your move, don't it? Michaela, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this a long time.
Such a pleasure having you join us. Yes, I know you have. We've talked online several times, and we're just as excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you.
So where are you? Let us start with what part of the country you're in today.
I'm in South Carolina, in Charleston.
Okay, that's home ground for you, isn't it? Home ground. I said that's home ground for you, right?
Home ground. I'm originally from Indiana, but like everybody from the north, we migrate south.
Absolutely. I started in upstate New York, so I know exactly what you mean there. John Bon Jovi,
yes,
you've been awful quiet over there. You got a question
for
me?
I've been enjoying the music and the conversation. Michaela, I got to tell you, that was a rousing number. I really enjoyed that. And if that's a typical example of your work, I'm just really impressed. It was a great, great number.
Thank you so much.
It sounds like you guys had a great time in the studio while you were doing it, and I guess probably the question that I would have for you is, what was your influence on that? What was your muse, if you will, that led you to creating that song?
You know, I'm influenced by a lot of different artists, like, you know, the Kinks, Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, and all those, but I always try to find my own originality with that, and I just have a melody pop in my head, and I start, you know, working with it, but I always say that I'm not writing for the moment, I'm writing for the future, and I write music so that people will feel good and have a lot of fun with the song and, you know, feel the energy and just start dancing, so I was actually listening to Christina Aguilera at the time, and I learned that little run, you know.
And it works.
That works. Yeah, that's great.
So it was a lot of fun. And the story, you know, is just a fantasy about having that passion for someone. You know, I'm telling it like it is, what you're really thinking. You know, you just really want them to make their move.
Well, I know when I first heard of you and started listening to some of your music and reading some of your background, I was kind of taken aback by that when you referenced your influences, and the first one that comes up is sounds kind of like the Kinks, and I'm listening to your music and I said, wait a minute, that ain't no Ray Davies. What's going on here? And then I saw your picture, and I knew for sure it wasn't Ray Davies. But no, we do understand what you mean about the influence of the music, and you know, that's kind of true of all successful, well, even the lesser successful artists too, for that matter. The people that influence you, the people you listen to, that grab a hold of you in some way or another, influence what you do, the music you write, the lyrics you write, and even your performances. So that is very true.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just always influenced by the older rock generation. I just love that music, and I was so lucky to be working with this producer, having been, you know, a 60s rocker himself. He played with the Chessmen, Paul Anka, Bobby Goldsboro. He was a studio musician in Nashville and performed at the Grand Ole Opry. So we've been able to infuse his 60s rock and roll background with my modern sound. So I was really happy that I was able to do that. It's always something that I wanted to do.
Well, you should get a kick out of a couple of guests we've got coming up here in just a few minutes. We have the sons of Frankie Avalon and Don Everly are going to be joining us in a little while. They've got a team that they're going around. In addition to working with other artists, Paul Anka and several others, they also have their own duo going, and they're making some really great music too. So I think you're going to get a kick out of that. I know you're going to get a kick out of listening to them because they're really a couple of cool guys. Before we go any further, this is an award show, you know, so May we have the envelope, please? What is your award today, Michaela?
My award would have to go to Russell Brand because the movement that he is doing, you know, I'm into all that conspiracy stuff and aliens. So I think it's really cool that he is stepping out of, you know, the comfort zone of what everybody else in the industry is telling him not to do, and, you know, he's just doing his thing.
Well, I think that's a very good point and a good award because I think that's important for all of us. I know looking back at my life and career, there were times back when that I didn't take that chance. And, you know, looking back, I wish I had because when I did take the chances, well, this show is a perfect example. And I told the story, I think, way back when we first did the show, so I'll be brief, but I had been in radio. I had a career in broadcast for a long time, and I had been out of it for an equally long time. And so I started feeling around with people in the business that I knew, and Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys encouraged me by discouraging me. We talked before one of the boys' shows, for probably an hour or so, and he was very encouraging by telling me how hard it was going to be to get back into it, and how difficult, what kind of hurdles I was going to have to overcome and everything, and that kind of slapped me side of the head and said, you know what? It isn't that impossible. I can do it. And now, you know, 2.5 years later, here we are with our own show. John and I worked together in Tampa Radio back long ago in a galaxy far away. And here we are getting to talk to lovely people like you, Michaela. Tell us about your new music you've got coming up. I know you've got a new release out, which we're going to be playing for in just a couple of minutes here. Tell us about your new music.
Well, Summer Romance. Kind of a summer feel-good tune, but just to make you want to dance. Charleston, and I don't know if Florida does too, but North Carolina, they have a dance that's called the Shag. And so this beat, along with it, I'm just kind of picking around, and I really liked it, and it sounded a lot like the Shaggin' music. So they are loving it over here in Charleston.
I'll have to look in that. Nick does a lot of stuff. He has his own group, our engineer, Nick the Geek here. Nick, are you around somewhere where I can just ask you, have you heard of the Shagging movement? No, it has.
Yeah, but
oh, you have. Oh, okay. He can't say he has. So apparently it hasn't hit the Gulf Coast of Florida yet because Nick is out and about, plays a lot of the clubs around that. He would know about it if it was on this side. I'll have to check over on the Atlantic Coast side because I'm not sure I have. I know I remember when I was, you know, back a few years when we went shagging, but that was probably something totally different.
you're talking about shag carpet, right, Dave?
Yes, of course, of course.
Yes,
you remember
of course.
Back in the 70s. Moving right along, Michaela, tell us about now your career took a big turn recently when you signed with V2D Records. Tell us about that.
Well, I had, like you said, was doing a lot of karaoke and open mic nights, and I was writing every day since I was like 10 years old, and I was finally to the place where I was making some good music, and I made a demo and handed it in to V2D, and what really drew me to them was their innovative and forward-thinking philosophy, and it really allowed me the freedom to be the artist that I want to be. I don't have to one genre. I can write in, you know, rock, pop, country, jazz, you know, rap, and I think that reaches a wider audience. And it's their philosophy that the album is dying, and so they only release singles. And eventually here we're going to start doing the bundles where fans, if they want to download a CD, they can pick what singles that they want and put it on there. So,
and that's one of the things I wanted to discuss with you because if I'm not mistaken, you and V2D Records have a plan of releasing what is it, a single a month?
Yes, every 30 days.
And that's something that That's kind of something to look forward to. You're giving the fans something today, but also they know they're not going to have to wait a year or two for the next something to come out, and they can collect what they want, or, you know, if for some reason they didn't want this month's track, they know there's going to be another track coming up next month, and that's an interesting concept. I wouldn't be surprised if more artists don't move toward that. What do you think, John Bon Jovial?
No, I think it's probably an excellent direction to go in. You know, in the old days with terrestrial radio, you would come out with one hit and then you'd milk it for all it was worth for X number of weeks, and it would get played to death until nobody wanted to hear it anymore. But you know, with the way technology is now, with folks like us that that have this kind of a radio program dealing with indie artists, and also the plethora of choices that you have as far as how to listen to media, doing it once every 30 days now, I think is probably a fairly wise plan.
Radio keeps you in the fans' eye, so they don't forget about you. And I think that's especially important for indie artists as we're coming up. You know, people are starting to hear about us, and, you know, unless you're in their face on TV every day, they're going to forget about you. So I think that putting out an album is, you know, you're just kind of dead in the water after 30 days. And, you know, all respect to the people that do that, but I think that this is an incredibly, you know, innovative thinking that I think more people will follow along with.
It's innovative because when you deal with like terrestrial radio, they play it safe. You only hear the same 250 songs over and over again, and
right.
You know they are so desperately afraid to get out of their comfort zones that a platform or a venue or arena, depending upon however you want to term it, such as this, or any of the. Many programs, quality programs that are available on the internet today is such an excellent way to launch a career.
Yeah, I mean, I love internet radio. They have given me such a huge opening to reach my fan base. My music is currently being played on internet and FM radio stations in 70 nations now, including, the U.S., Netherlands, Germany, New Zealand, and most recently, Belgium. The Netherlands, however, has been a huge, huge support system for me. So.
Well, Netherlands has always been known also for, for their our ability to not be afraid to venture into, a new genre or a new
unknown
artist.
Territory.
I mean, they're very, very,
yeah.
Thank you. Unknown territory. And, that's something that I know will pay off for you and your fellow indie artists.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree.
Michaela, now before we let you go and before we play your latest release, Summer Romance, tell us what's in the immediate future for you, say between now and the time you come back and see us again.
Oh, and I look forward to that. I just finished in the studio with my entire project, and we are booking for the tour. I am looking for promoters, so if any promoters out there listening, get in touch, please.
Okay.
We're setting up shows starting around September. I have been contacted by the band Desperate Hero to play some shows with them around here and Myrtle Beach, and because they just released a new single, and their album is coming out August 19th. So you'll probably see a lot of shows played with them.
Great. Now you have. We're dealing with a couple of second delay here, which sometimes I'll step on your toes. Please forgive me. I was going to ask if you have any dates booked in Florida.
I will be heading down that way very, very soon. The record company is going to release dates in the next couple months. So, but we're definitely starting up the East Coast here. And also, I've been asked by Richard Sergiovanni, creator of The Grumps, to be a contributing songwriter for his animated rock and roll cartoon, soon to be Major Motion Picture and TV show. I know you had them on this show not too long ago.
Yes, we're very, very pleased. We had him on, I think, in December, and we're definitely looking forward. We're even looking forward to it more now that we know one of the voices on there.
Yeah, it's going to going to be a lot of fun, fun for the whole family. And if you don't know the storyline, check out the Grimps at www.thegrimps.com. I've also been asked to be a main character in a new TV series coming out in 2015, but I can't say any more than that right now.
But you'll come back and tell us about it when you can, right?
Well, you'll be the first to know.
Fantastic. Please, before you go, please keep in touch with us. Let us know when you're coming down this way, and we'll definitely be looking forward to seeing you live. That's an important thing. Talking with you is great, but meeting you in person is even better.
Thank you.
Michaela, tell us quickly, if you would, please, about Summer Romance.
Summer Romance is just kind of a sweet summer feel-good tune. That's going to make you dance. And you should definitely check out the video as well. It's filmed on the beach in Beaufort, South Carolina, which I lived there for several years. And they have a beautiful beach. It's like paradise. And I think you're really going to enjoy the video. And all my music is at www.b2drecords.com. And you can find me on Facebook under Rockin' Michaela 13. So.
There you go. And she does do Facebook. So if you want to leave her a message on there, believe me, you will hear back from her. Okay. Great. Thank you for giving us your links, which was my next question. Thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us this afternoon and with sharing your music as well. We look forward to seeing you back here on the show and also meeting you in person when you get down this way. Thank you, Michaela.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me, David.
You're so welcome. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Michaela with Summer Romance. Summer Love, that's Michaela. And yes, folks, she will be back on the show, I'm sure. Definitely, if she gets down to Florida, we want to get her on the show. And maybe we can get, if we're lucky, we can get Nick the Greek to set us up with the logistics, and we can get some of her live performance on. Always like to try and get a live performance on if we can. There's just something about that. But John Bon Jovi, where are we on our schedule today?
Well, okay, thank you, David. I just want to kind of reiterate what you've been saying all along, you know, with some of these indie artists. I mean, Michaela, she's, you know, she's wonderful. I really, truly enjoyed listening to her, and the conversation was excellent. If any of you out there would like to submit your music to us, we would really love to hear from you. Remember that if you or your group would like to appear as a guest on the David Bowers Awards, simply send your EPK to david@thedavidbowers.com. And if you don't have an EPK, write us anyway. We're going to send you instructions on how to put it together, and you will get heard around the world. We're going to go on to Rockstar 101 here in just a moment, but we also wanted to, again, remind you about the wonderfulness that is the David Bowers Awards official T-shirt. They are available right now and exclusively at www.thedavidbowers.com. Simply check our website, click on your choice, and order directly. Your official The David Bowers T-shirt will be shipped directly to you for only $14.30, and they are available in black or white in men's and women's sizes. Order today. Operators are standing by. If you want to believe that, fine. It sounds good to me. www.thedavidbowers.com. Get your official The David Bowers Awards T-shirts and run with the best. They're also great for sleepovers and pillow fights and, you know, syrup and honey and, well, no, I'm going a little too far there. And now, David, I think it is time to present Rockstar 101. We're taking a little different slant this week, and I want you to tell us all about it, please.
Well, that's a tough act to follow, but yes, we're going to do something a little different today. As you may have noticed from our schedule, we did not post who would be holding Rockstar 101 class today. That's because I'm taking over the bloody pulpit myself, and I've got a little something that I'd like to toss out in line with becoming a rock star. As you know, this show is about the music and the people who make it. Now, while radio personalities, for the most part, do not actually make the music, they have a hand in making hits, and they have had for as long as there's been radio. Many of these characters, myself and my co-host included, have sometimes pushed the envelope, sometimes to a greater degree than others, but pushed it nonetheless. And there are times when this envelope pushing has ruffled some feathers and maybe even offended some people. Many have paid the price for voicing their opinions. Many have paid the price for voicing their opinion to various degrees, up to and including being sued and losing their jobs for it. Which brings me to my point. What is America coming to, and where does it end? This country was established on freedoms, one of which is the freedom of speech. Now, I'm sure our British forebears found much of what came out of the colonies offensive. And even after America was independent, there were sides and discussions that upset and, yes, offended people, most notable of which, of course, was slavery, but there were many others. Over the years, we have exercised that right to free speech and felt secure in the knowledge that we could speak our mind without fear of retribution. It seems as though that freedom is in jeopardy, if not already being taken away, as even local radio hosts are fired over controversial comments, another radio host recently being called out for comments in a blog. The vice president of Clear Channel Radio, Bob Morgan, called a blog posted by a Rochester, New York, WHAM radio host, Bob Lonsbury, insensitive. Now, Lonsbury's blog, which has been removed from the station's website, also criticized transgender benefits. In a statement, Morgan of Clear Channel says, "Though Bob Lonsbury is entitled to his opinion about the city of Rochester's health care plan, his blog post and comments about members of the transgender community were insensitive. His remarks do not reflect the position or attitudes of the station or its management. We cannot discuss employee personnel matters, but I can tell you that the station has removed the post and is extending an invitation to local leaders of the LGBT community to meet with Bob Lonsbury and speak on the topic, end of quote. You can read more at www.13wham.com in their news and features. This is just the latest in a series of events scarily not limited to radio personalities or music people. It seems our society, in its quest to be politically correct, is moving more and more away from not only tolerance of people's opinions, but also allowance of these opinions. We're losing one of the basic freedoms on which this nation was founded. Without taking sides on any of the issues, let me point out a couple. This one deals with transgenders and gays, but if you agree with a radio host, you're considered by many to be a homophobe. If you disagree with him, you're considered to be a pervert. Other cases, if you agree with our president, you're considered by half the country to be a left-leaning traitor. If you disagree, you're a racist. On the subject of immigration, if you agree with our immigration policies, which aren't really being enforced, you're considered to be violating the immigrants' rights, even the illegals. I'm not sure what rights they have other than fair treatment, but if you disagree with our immigration policies, you're considered to be a threat and the next best thing to a terrorist. If you back our military policies, you're a warmonger who believes in killing innocent civilians. If you don't support them, you're a pacifist, un-American, and possibly a traitor. If you agree that we need stronger gun control, you're anti-American. If you disagree, you're insensitive to those killed by gun wielders. Note that no similar criteria is made for people killed with other objects. I could go on and on, but you get the point. Where is it going? Where will it end? No place good, I don't think. We've become so polarized as a nation that we can't even govern ourselves, and our politicians are taking over running the country instead of representing the people. The more they keep us divided, the more they are in control. They're not acting as representatives, they're acting as rulers. And this isn't the American way. While there is a need for sensitivity and sanity, granted, I think that comes under the heading of something our children don't seem to be getting enough taught, respect. While that's true, there's also the need for common sense. There's also a need for people to be active and voice their opinions. And by very virtue of what an opinion is, it's going to upset and perhaps offend some people. Tell me Howard Stern hasn't offended some people. I guarantee you that a lot of the music of the 60s and 70s and even today offends people. But wake up, America. Offensive doesn't necessarily mean illegal. If something I say offends you, don't listen to me. You're free to listen to someone else. Or voice your side of the discussion and let's move on. Together, an example close to home for me. My co-host, John Bon Jovial, and I are at opposite ends of the spectrum in several areas. He's a misguided Boston Red Sox supporter. And
Yeah,
I know. Boston Red Sox fan caught me saying misguided. But listen, his politics are to the left of my right-leaning stance. And they've been this way for over 40 years we've been friends and worked together. We don't agree on many issues. But we're friends, we're co-workers, and we're Americans. We argue intensely at times. There are times we've offended each other. But neither of us has sued the other, punched the other, shot the other, and I'd fight to the death to defend his right to his opinion. Don't you get it, America? From the polemic and divergent opinions comes the discussion that ultimately works towards mutual agreement. Without the discussion, the differences would never be smoothed out and overcome. Didn't we learn our lesson with the Civil War? Do we need to go there again? In the 50s and 60s, you could not play the word damn in a song. Hoyt Axton's Greenback Dollar by the Kingston Trio, an early example. They blipped out the word damn with a guitar strum. Now we've got rap music using just about every vulgarity in the English language to sell music. Tell me that doesn't offend somebody. But they don't get fired or sued for it. And you're going to castigate and maybe even fire a radio personality for voicing an opinion that offends somebody. Come on, people. You're not doing that because it's offensive. You're doing that because it might offend part of your target audience, and you don't want to lose listeners or cost yourself money. Just like our politicians. Ever notice them flip-flopping on an issue? Why do you suppose they do that? Well, they don't do it because they've had an epiphany. They do it because they're afraid of offending someone and losing votes. If we're going to start censoring people's opinions, then maybe America is already dead. In our foolish efforts to be politically correct, to pander for record sales or listeners or votes or whatever, we're giving away the very structure of America and polarizing our people so they can agree on nothing. This has got to stop, or our children and grandchildren and their children will never know America. I pray it's not already too late. And yes, I said pray, which offends atheists. And you know what? I only care so far as I don't like to offend people. I don't try to offend people. But I know that some of the things I do and say will offend some people. That's life, people. It's something to deal with. It's something to work out. You're an atheist? Fine. You have a right to that opinion, even if it offends me. Just remember, others have that right, too. And it's not up to you to change them. That's where the real trouble begins. We forget the freedoms in America carry the caveat, as long as they do not interfere with the freedom of others. Nowhere does it say or imply that you can't disagree with their opinions, but you can't interfere with their right to their opinions. It's time Americans woke up and understood that. The Constitution guarantees free speech. It does not guarantee politically correct speech or inoffensive speech. What is America coming to? Where will it end? You want to be a rock star? Voice your opinion. But grant others the right to voice theirs too. And let your people do the same. That's the American way.
Okay, well, that's kind of a tough act to follow, but well put, David. And yes, you and I disagree on a few things, but we always find a way to have a beer with each other at the end of the day. Okay, still to come on the David Bowers Awards, we've got Dimitri's Rail, but right now it's yesterday and today. David.
And that it is, and we're so proud and happy to have these next two gentlemen with us, because not only are they excellent examples of American music, but for all the history and, well, for all the history of American music, they also represent and bring to the table. One of them is the son of one of the biggest rock stars of the 60s, the Beach Movies with Annette Funicello and others, and the other gentleman is the son of one half of the biggest singing duo in the history of popular music, the Everly Brothers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring them on in just a moment. But first, if you would, welcome, please. And we're going to play some music for you by one of the stars. Well, actually both, but we'll get to that in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Frank Avalon Jr. and Eden Everly. And here is Frank Jr., backed by Eden, doing one of Frankie Avalon's big hits from the 60s, Just Ask Your Heart.
Just ask your heart who dreams about you. Just ask your heart who's faithful and true. Someone who cares and ask your heart who loves only you. Then you will find your true love to be someone who cares for you and wants to make you happy. Then when your heart says he loves only you, and when it says your heart if your love is true, just ask his heart, love's only you. Just ask your heart. happy. And when your heart says he loves only you, and when it says he won't make you blue, then ask your heart if your love is true. Just ask your heart, loves only you. Just ask his heart, loves only you.
And there you go. There you go. Frank Avalon Jr. and Eden Everly and Just Ask Your Heart. And we have them on the line right now. We're going to bring them on board and get to talk with both of these gentlemen right now. First off, we have Frank Avalon Jr. Are you there, Frankie?
Yep, I'm right here. How are you doing today?
Doing just fine, and please forgive me if I slip and call you Frankie instead of Frank. Been a lot of years with that name, so.
No problem. I'm pretty used to it, man.
I can well imagine. Let's bring on board your cohort here in all the talent and evil and everything else that you're doing. Let's bring on Eden Everly. Are you there, Eden?
Hello.
Hello.
You doing?
Doing just fine. Welcome aboard.
You forgot to mention a partner in crime.
That was the word I was looking for, but I don't know. I've got to get with those cue card guys. They don't always have. That's what I get for borrowing them from the Letterman show. What can I say? This is such a thrill for me, and I know it is for my partner John Bon Jovial. You guys,
absolutely.
We've played the music for years. Frank, you know, at one point, along with the Everly Brothers and a couple other artists, I had every record that your father ever made, and I wore out more than one of them because those plastic 45s only last so long. And Eden, in addition to your, I remember vividly to this day the day that I was introduced to the Everly Brothers music. That was friends of my father's. He worked in the city. We lived out in the country about 20 miles out in upstate New York. And the family of a very close friend of his came over on weekends. And this one weekend, the two brothers and the sister were there. And while we were out, you know, running around playing cowboys and Indians or whatever it was we were doing, I remember the sister asked me, "Hey, did you hear this new group that just came out?" And I said, "No, who are you talking about?" And she said, "The Everly Brothers." And I said, "The Everly Brothers? I never heard of them." But believe me, after that, I did hear of them. And I can say without fear of anybody arguing with me, I had every one of their records up to, I can't remember when, but at one point or another, I had virtually everything they ever recorded. And I could tell you way more than I needed to know about it because I grew
great.
Up in the music. I lived it, but I know that it's been a little bit of a rough period for you, Eden, losing your dad.
Yeah.
And
Phil was like a father to me. He was my uncle, but he was a father to me. And we lost him on January 3rd, and coincidentally enough, Frank and I were touring, and I happened to be in Los Angeles at the time, and we were playing Palm Springs, and something told me I should get a car and drive over to Burbank, and so I did that, and I got to see him and hold his hand, and the next day he passed, and it was just a mind blower, and then we had that show to do, and Frankie said to me, you know, you don't have to go up if you don't want to, you know. He said, you know, the day my father died, he said he had to go up and play a show. And I thought, well, hell, that's, you know. So that's the way Phil would have wanted it. But, yeah, you know, the family is really taking a blown, and we're just, you know, It's just he was everything to us, and I'm teary-eyed thinking about it.
I know you are, and I can identify with that because I was on the air in Albany at a country station way back when just getting ready to do a 5-minute newscast, the old rip and read. I'd pulled it off of the Associated Press teletype machine, and I was just about ready. The record was ending, and I got a phone call, and you know, like an idiot, I answered the phone, and it was a friend of the family calling to tell me that my dad had moved on too. So I can identify with what you're talking about.
It profoundly changes you, you know. I mean, when you lose somebody that is that close to you, you know, and, you know, your conveyor belt moves up and, you know, and you're next in line or you're closer in line at least, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of puts things in perspective, you know.
Right, you come in. It's probably the first time in your life that you really come in touch with your own mortality.
Right. Yes. But you know what though? Phil's passing has made it very less scary for me because, you know, I know he's going to be there. You know.
Yeah, and I know I speak for all your fans and followers all around the world in sharing your grief and sorrow. We all lost somebody special that day.
Yeah. Well,
now
a friend of mine had called and said, you know, just to let you know, we're all feeling it, Eden. We're all feeling it. And so,
sure.
And so, yeah, so but, that's that, you know.
Now, you guys got to work with your fathers at the family profession, which a lot of people don't get to do. I mean, you know, I grew up, I did not enter anything that relates anywhere near to what my dad did for a living for a lot of years.
What did your father do?
My father was a boiler room engineer. Actually, he worked on the railroad. He had a career on the railroad for over 20 years in upstate New York, and then he went to work in a factory in Rome, Rome Cable Company, which later became a part of Alcoa, and he was the head of their boiler room there for, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking it was close to another 20 years. So I didn't I didn't come anywhere near doing
I would have taken your route.
Yeah, it wasn't, it just definitely didn't appeal to me to follow that.
Well, you know, the Everly, you know, Phil and Don, you know, if they would have taken the route of, you know, what the family did, they would have been, you know, coal mining.
Yeah.
They would have been
right.
in the coal mine.
Although there was some serious musical background there.
Yeah, there was, I guess. Yeah, there was all that, you know, Ike Everly and his playing and his influence on a lot of guitar players, among those Chet Atkins, you know, which Chet
mm-hmm.
Atkins talks about, very proud of that.
You guys actually got to play with your parents, which is something that I think is probably real special. How did you two hook up,
Frank?
Well, I'll tell that story. Well, all right. We did grow up in the same neighborhood, and we've known each other, gosh, since we were little kids. I mean, we had a band together when we were like 7 years old with, believe it or not, with me and some of the kids around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know, it's kind of strange to think that, but there was this radio station, KHJ, that we really wanted to be on. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we really wanted to be on the station, so we were trying to do that. And, the thing what happened to me was, I was eight years old, I can't really remember. There was this baseball field near where we lived, and there was a big hill, and we used to build a jump at the end of it. Well, down at the bottom, it was my turn to go. I went off, and I fell. I must have been 20 feet. Went way too far, came down, fell onto my handlebars, nailed my head.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, but I think it was more like 200 feet at the time, you know, what it felt like.
That's what it
felt
like.
You know, on the Schwinn, you know, like the 300-pound Schwinn.
But the thing was, I forgot a lot of things. I forgot I had, like, amnesia for a while. And And I didn't remember it, not too much. It took me a while to remember my brothers and sisters, my mom and dad. I couldn't really remember my friends. And then my friends came up. I just couldn't really remember. And then Eden came in one day. I'll never forget. And he goes, "Hey, Styx, how you feeling?" Because he used to call me Styx when I was a
yeah.
kid.
Yeah.
And I woke up. I mean, I went, "Eden?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, my God." And he told me, he's like, "He's awake. He knows what's going on." And that's a big deal. I'm like, I can remember everything. So he set off my memory again.
Yeah.
So I'll have to tell that story because, to me, it was a very important part of my
yeah.
life.
It was the whole family was worried about him, and I take that as out of all people, he remembers me, you know, and like, you know, it jarred his memory, so it makes me feel good, you know.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
It's really funny that you mentioned KHJ as part of the story, because when I moved out to Los Angeles area back in the late 70s, I was still trying to stay in radio. I had just come out of best gig of my career. I was at Q105 in Tampa, Florida, and I went out to Los Angeles on a whim. I won't even go into that story, but I loved it there and decided to stay there, to move there. And I applied for a job at KHJ, which was opening. I forget how I found out about it. And I wound up applying for a job there, and long story short, I did not get the gig, but I was told I was among the finalists, so I guess that kind of
it was
made...
It's their loss.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much. We're gonna move on with another song from you guys, and we're gonna
come
back
playing now?
At a little bit more. We're gonna do "Life on Mars."
And by the way, we recorded that song using a ukulele, which is very unusual. It's a very hard song to figure out on the ukulele. But apparently, the Duke himself, the Thin White Duke, he actually heard it and he approved, gave it the A-OK stamp of approval. And that was really good to know.
Yeah, well, I was excited when I heard that. So
absolutely.
Tell
us a little bit about the song, because the concept, you hear the name Life on Mars, and you start thinking something really, ethereal, kind of out there. Where did the song come from?
It's a David Bowie song, and we covered it, and Frank says, you know, I got a ukulele, and I learned a couple chords there, and Frank says to me, "Hey, man, you know, we should cover Life on Mars." I said, "Well, you know." So about, you know, by Monday, this was on a Friday, by Monday I had figured out the chords. So, we went into the studio, we tracked it, and we were happy with it. And then, then there was the harmonies. It was the harmony. Then Frank and I went back, and we were like, you know, it's pretty good. Then we laid down these harmonies, which are, you know, counterbalance to the song and very unusual, and I think that's what made it and what made everyone really dig the song.
Well, let's give everybody here a chance to dig the song right now. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Eden and Frank and Life on Mars.
It's a god-awful small affair, through the girl with a mousy hair, but her mommy is yelling no, has told her to go, but her friends are nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the sea with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film was a saddening bore, for she's lived it 10 times or more. She can see it in the eyes of fools.
Fighting in the dance hall, oh man, look at
on America's social brow. That Mickey Mouse is grown up a cow. Now the workers are short for fame, 'cause Lenin's on sale again. She's a mice and a million horse, from the Ivy to the North of Broad. Rue Britannia is out of bounds.
Eden Everly and Frank Avalon with the David Bowie classic, Life on Mars. Frank and Eden are standing by and chatting with us today. You guys are out, in addition to working with a lot of other talent and backing them up on their shows and their recordings, you're out doing a dual tour, the two of you, aren't you?
Well, are you referring to the Everly Avalon tour?
Yes.
Well, we're actually we're going to be going into rehearsals for that end of August, and we're going to there's going to be a tour. We got a tour manager, a tour booker. I don't know what they call it, and
well,
we're going to be doing a European, like a I think it's like 28 dates, and then we're doing 2 weeks in Japan, and that's going to be probably in November. So. But we're, you know, that's happened. That's in the works.
Well, that's great for my listeners in Europe and Japan. What are you doing for us in the States?
In the States.
Then we come after that. We come back home, and then
we do tour with Frankie Avalon, and we, you know, you could see us there doing that, and we do tour quite often, and we, as a matter of fact, we were just in Kentucky. And I've never had moonshine, but we had good old-fashioned Kentucky moonshine for the first time.
Oh, that stuff will wake you up quick.
Yeah.
I remember the first time
I had
that.
You know, you can only take a thimbleful. You know, it's so, you know.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. But you know what? Actually, I just want to say to the people in Kentucky, they were just so wonderful and so nice. I mean, they just went out of their way, and they were just so, the fans, they were just wonderful. And, just unbelievable.
Well,
so.
That's great. I know we've encountered a lot of times with artists that have played both here and around the world. There have been many who have told us that they are really amazed at how Europe, for example, how Europe hangs on to the prior artists and reveres them in some ways more than the United States. Americans tend to be a little fickle and move on to the next great, you know, the next great thing or the newest American idol.
Every artist has about, you know, so an artist will break out and have, you know, maybe we'll have two and a half good years, and then they, you know, if you're lucky, maybe 5 years, and then they start going down, and they play like their golden oldies and stuff. But for, you know, people like our fathers, you know, Phil and Don and Frankie, I mean, they've been doing it for 40 years, you know, and it never gets old, and it's, you know, it's an amazing accomplishment.
It is,
and it really is.
I'm really glad to hear
so
that the American fans are.
I mean, I just, you know, I can't even fathom.
That's fantastic, and I'm really glad to hear that the American fans are, you know, that they are reacting and following it, and it's so good to see you guys.
Do.
So good to see you guys out there doing just, you know, doing your own thing, and I know that's important. You know, it's one thing the heritage, but it's another thing you wanna go out and you wanna establish something on your own from your own actions.
Yeah, well, Frankie and I have, you know, we've got our hands in all the pots. We've been, you know, for years we've been doing jingles for radio stations, and the director John Waters, you know, he's a friend of ours, and he's actually putting one of our songs in his next movie, which thrills me because I'm a big fan of his, you know, and
Well, you'll have to let us know when that gets a title and comes out, so we can give a little shout to everybody about that. And when you guys get to doing some American dates, be sure and let us know so we can get together. Maybe if you get down to Florida, maybe get together with you live.
Oh, absolutely.
That sounds great.
I would love to. I have never had the chance to meet either of your parents parents and uncle in Eden's case. Unfortunately, I was never able to meet any of them, so I was just talking to both of you during the break and mentioning the fact that, you know, how special this is for me personal to be able to sit and talk with you, as well as to be able to share with my listeners, because that's what keeps me going. You know, it's like you guys play for your audiences, and I play for my listeners, so it's a beautiful thing, and that's what keeps me going. John Bon Jovial.
Yes, sir.
I am back once again.
I thought you might have a question or two you wanted to get in here.
You've pretty much covered everything, David. I just, you know, I want to just let both of you guys, Eden, Frank, I just want to let you both know that, you know, putting your parents aside, I'm very impressed with your music. There's obviously some raw talent there. And I know that it's very hard for somebody in your position to get out from underneath your parents' very impressive shadow. But I think that if you guys keep cranking stuff like this out, then you'll be able to, you know, step out into the public and say, oh, that's Eden Everly, that's Frank Avalon, without thinking of the forebearers, if you will.
Sure.
So I'm very impressed with
what you've
got to do there.
This new record that we just released, we recorded it at Sun Studios, and you know, you were playing the Kingston Trios. You're talking about Silverback or Greenback Dollar.
Yes,
right.
And we actually tracked that one. I think ours is a little different version, because Greenback Dollar was a Depression era song. And we recorded, basically what we did is we wanted to get back to the basics. And so, you know, Frank bought an old Gretsch drum set, and he can tell you more about it than I can. I got my 59 Fender Bassman and, you know, my 59 Gibson.
Sweet.
You know, and we went to Sun Studios. We recorded all these traditional songs, good, wholesome songs in Sun Studios, no digital, none of that. We recorded songs like In the Pines, you know, Silverhead Daddy. We recorded some Elvis songs, Return to Sender, you know, obviously Just Ask Your Heart. We recorded Rocky Top, Greenback Dollar, and so that's the album that we're most proud of right now, because I mean, that was like, you know, getting back to the basics, none of this Pro Tools, digital stuff. This was tape. This was like, you know, apparently it was the microphone that Elvis Presley used, you know. And,
wow.
But we were just so proud of that, you know, that we could pull it off, you know, with one overhead ribbon mic and, you know, and you know, the real deal. So
you're hearkening back to the days of almost being a garage band.
Well, yeah, we're honoring it because, you know, that's our roots. You know, our roots is, you know, is rock and roll, and
you do it well. You've got a Well, I don't know. The sound is there. I mean, Frank, you when you did Just Ask Your Heart, you could hear a bit of your father there. And Eden, I know I first ran across you. I don't know how many years ago it was, but I remember talking to you through emails or something online, and I had heard you had done that great song by the Everlys, Stories We Could Tell.
Oh, well, Frank, that was me and Frank. Frank was singing harmony on that.
At that time, I did not know that. All I knew was that I listened to that song.
Out of curiosity, how did you find that song? Because I can't even find that song. We recorded that song and put it up online somewhere.
Yeah, I thought you'd taken it down because I can't find it now either. And it was so long ago. I mean, we're talking, oh, my gosh, we're talking, what, 4 years ago anyway?
Yeah, five, six. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we get a lot of requests for that song. If people want to know where they could download that song. And I'm sure that, you know, we can go in and find it.
I'm one of them.
We record so many songs. We must have
like
a catalog of I mean,
songs.
Like, I don't know, 1,000 songs. We've been recording for years.
Yeah.
Well, I stumbled across your name online somewhere, and at that time I didn't know for sure who you were, but I did some quick research, found out you were, in fact, who I thought you were, and I found the song, and I heard that, and you could hear that Everly harmony in the song.
Well,
and
that's actually Frank singing harmony, you know.
Well, you guys did a tremendous job. You did it proud, and if you find that, I'd like to get a copy of it too. To be honest with you, mm-hmm. I gotta get your new album too. I don't have that yet, so I'm gonna have to get a copy of that. But before we run out of time, a couple of quick things here. Want to keep in touch with you. If you get down this way, if you get down the Florida way, let us know. I would like nothing more than to be able to meet you as well. And maybe we can do a live show. We get some time when
you're
playing.
And I heard you talking about that.
That'd
if you ever get that going, you know, we would love to come down. I can bring my ukulele and Frank bring his bongos, and we can play a whole set for you.
And you bring the ukulele, and I know that Bob Shane of the Kingston Trio will be listening in, too. So
we'll bring him down, too.
There you go.
Invite him.
All right. We're going to get to one more song by you guys, but first I know John Bon Jovial is chewing at the bit here. He's got a question he wants to ask.
Well, I just got one quick question for you guys. I mean, I know that there's obvious influences in your life. Frankie Avalon is one. Don and Phil Everly, the others. But who else of that era, of that genre, has influenced you in making the music that you do or thinking in the direction that you do? I mean, for example, you know, you mentioned a ukulele. The first thought that came to my mind was, and this is old school, was Arthur Godfrey. So who has been your primary influences outside of your family?
I got a good story on that one because, believe it or not, okay, we love the Beatles. Is one of when we were younger, I don't know, Eden was kind of into a little more eclectic music at the time. I know when we were really young, I don't know how he discovered it, but that's just his mind. And anyway, so I had the Beatles like on my bike. I had the weird little tape recorder, and all of a sudden I had the tape, and he listened. He goes, "Who's that?" And I had the White Album, and he goes, "Who's that?" And he heard Helter Skelter, Sexy Sadie, heard all these great songs. He goes, "Who is that?" I go, "It's the Beatles." He goes, "The Beatles?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh my God, they're great." And then after I thought about it for a while, I was like, we got a little bit older, like a few years later, I go, yeah, and he always says, "Frank, you're the one who turned me on to the Beatles."
Yeah.
But you know what's funny?
Yeah.
Is I go, "Eden, do you know that your dad turned on the Beatles?" He wouldn't have the Beatles if it wasn't for your dad, your uncle.
That's true.
Ukulele, you know, as far as like our ukulele song influence is definitely George Harrison. You know, it's all the way. And you know, thanks to Frank, he actually did turn me on to the Beatles. And as a matter of fact, we went to a party at Trent Reznor's house, who was renting the Sharon Tate house, and we listened to the White Album up there.
That was really a weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
was
yeah
a weird
story. Anyhow, enough of that. But
yeah.
Anyhow, I know it's more like 50s.
But the Beatles were a big influence. I love Zeppelin. That's one of my influences. But I know you can't really hear those, like the Zeppelin influences, or like Eden likes the Tubes.
Everyone knows I'm a Tubes fanatic.
I mean, Genesis. I like Genesis.
Bill Spooner fanatic. Yeah.
Old
you know,
Genesis.
But, you know,
I like.
Me, though, really, for me, you know, what if you want to back up, for me, I like. Oh my God, Eddie Cochran. I like.
Yeah.
You know, Gene Vincent. You know, all.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
The Roots.
Little Richard. I'm into all. We were all into that big time. You know, and.
Sure.
And then later on, you know, our musical taste progressed, and we got into Zeppelin. And
oh, of course,
and
diverged.
Not.
Right.
Hey,
since I'm a drummer, I got into Rush. I got into all kinds of drumming, you know, people
yeah,
like
he's
that.
He's a drummer. He's a drummer,
Bald,
of course.
Bozo, which wasn't anything like the music that I like to play, because I like to lay it down, you know, just kind of like. But I just love to also be challenged. When I'm growing up as a kid, you want to be, you know, wow, I could do that. I could think I could do that, you know, and
sure,
keep challenging
sure
yourself. And after a while, you're like, but I don't even think people can clap their hands for this. What am I playing this music for? You know?
Well, listen, we definitely want to book something to get you guys back on the show. So please keep in touch with us. Let us know what's going
absolutely
on.
Absolutely.
In touch with you. It's been a riot. You know, you talk about it. One of you, and I didn't catch which one of you just slipped in that's enough or something like that, and I'm thinking to myself, no way, we could do a whole show just talking
well,
to the
hey,
two of you.
You should do like a two-hour show with us.
We've
got some stories, I'm telling you, and by the way, my little cousin Chris Everly, Phil's boy, he's writing a book. And so, yeah, he's writing a book, and hey, Chris, he's listening to us right now.
Oh,
but,
great, Chris,
he's
you got to let
be
us
playing
know
an Everly Brothers
about
festival in Central City, Kentucky, end of August, and he's
oh,
a very talented musician-songwriter. So,
well, we definitely want to get him on the show, too, as I love bringing out music talent that people haven't heard of yet. I'd love to be able to expose new talent. And, Chris, contact me, drop me a line. I keep my email easy so I don't forget it. It's david@thedavidbowers.com. Simple and easy as that. Definitely want to get you guys back. Thank you so much for coming and spending the afternoon.
All right.
Loved
thank you,
gentlemen.
Thank you.
Us.
Thank you, John. Thank you, David, very much.
Thank you, Frank and Eden. And here they are one more time. This is called Irene. All right.
I remember days were good, and now naive we were. I wish we could only understood how much time we wasted then. I'm sorry that I introduced you to my friend, and on that note I'd love to tell you why. Oh, how it seems the grass is down that path, and then he said goodbye. Exploded all of your innocence. Took you by the hand, didn't make no sense. 'Cause bad news is not what you need. I only wish that he had let you be. 'Cause what did you think? I was hanging around for nothing. Little do you know.
Neat. That is really, really cool. I love it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Frank and Eden. And I want to take just a second here to apologize because I understand that Chris Everly did try to get through, and for some reason we never were able to find him on the switchboard. So I apologize for that, Chris. I would love to have talked to you. And if you get a chance, drop me a line, as I mentioned, David at thedavidbowers.com. We get together. I'd love to have you come on the show, tell some stories, and play some music for us. I'd look forward to that in whenever you can make it work out. Definitely want to get Frank and Eden back on here as well. Thank you all so much for being with us. This has been a fun show today, let me tell you. And we still have more music and talk to go. We have Paul Emmer of Dimitri's Rail from Houston, Texas, who's going to be with us momentarily. And I think John Bon Jovial is chatting with him on the line right now, or getting him on the line. I'm not sure which, but he should be with us momentarily. And we'll let you listen to some of their music while we're waiting. This is a thing by Dimitri's Rail called What Lies Ahead. Dimitri's Rail and what lies ahead. And at the moment, what lies ahead is a chat with Paul Emmer of Dimitri's Rail. And Paul, are you with us?
I am. How you doing, David?
Doing just fine, Paul. How are you?
Doing okay.
Fantastic. You guys have had quite a year, well, going on 2 years with all you've had going on and, a couple of Academy Award nominations and all kinds of stuff happening.
Yeah, we've had some stuff come up with the Grammys and getting on the main ballot and lots of cool stuff happening, so we're still pushing. So.
And apparently doing a good job and great music. You're really, really knocking them out. I know your most recent album is still doing well and tracking well out there.
Yes. Yeah, it's exciting to see it's still going. So.
What do you guys got on your plate now?
Well, we actually started pre-production on another album. We just started doing that, and we got some military dates coming up with the Wish Project. And some other tour dates, working on festivals and different things like that. So
yeah,
we are just working internally with some people, connected with some other nationals that we're going to be touring with, and working with different talent buyers and things. So, still the same game, just a little further along, I guess.
I was going to mention the military connection, but first I just wanted to follow up on your working on a new project. Be sure and keep us in mind when that comes out, and we get you guys on and break it for you. We'd love to have you back again.
That would be awesome. Absolutely.
You got any tentative idea of when that might be coming out?
Right now what we're doing, we're just getting all the pre-production stuff done. We don't have a set date yet, so it's just getting all the 20 to 30 songs down pre-production-wise and get it over to my producer and see what he says he wants to keep or not.
Sure.
Usually he tells us no and then start over, or here's a better idea or whatnot. So that's kind of where we're at with right now. So we added a second electric guitar player, so we're a five-piece now.
Great.
Photos done. Yeah, it's cool. I don't have to... I play guitar, but not as good as these guys, so it kind of helps me out a little bit. So.
Well, yeah. I don't know. What I've heard sounded pretty good. If you got somebody better than you, you got yourself a good one. But you guys have done all right the way you've been, too, and that's a good thing. So tell us about this. Tell us about the military connection and what you're doing with our service people.
Working with the Wish Project, which is a project started by my friend Andrew O'Brien, and it's called Welcoming Your Soldier Home. He wrote a book, and then he wrote a second book. And he went overseas to South Korea and talked to the troops over there. And so he hit me up and said, hey, you guys want to tour some military bases? And I said, absolutely. So we put together a proposal and everything for the point of contact for the different bases, and he was reaching out to them. Some of them are going to bring us out. Some just the budget doesn't work for them. You know, each one has their own individual budget, so they have to be approved.
Right.
So it goes through the Suicide Prevention Division and the Morale Division. And so there's some bases at the end of August and then through the middle of September, and we're still waiting to hear back from Japan or South Korea. So hoping those come through would be amazing. So getting to actually get to go over there would be really, really cool life experience. So,
absolutely, that's really wonderful, and I'm glad to hear it. And I should take a moment to thank you. We had a veteran salute on last month, just prior to Memorial Day, which is available for those of you who missed it. It's quite a fun show, quite a pleasurable show too. A salute to our veterans. That's on our. On our Blog Talk Radio site, blogtalkradio.com/TheDavidBowers. And you can hear that there. I want to thank you, Paul, because you turned me on to the Warrior Spirit Band, which is a fantastic Wounded Warrior rock band that they were on the show with us again last month for our veteran salute. So thank you for pointing us in their direction and putting me in contact with them. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very, very, very welcome. Paul Delacerte is a real good friend of mine, so... He's got a lot of cool stuff going on. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is. And the thing that I like is their dedication. I mean, these guys, could have easily gone in a lot of different directions, but they have taken their experiences, both good and bad, and their pluses and their hardships and their talent, and they've put it to such great use that it's really, really a wonderful thing they're doing.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. They do a lot of the trauma units. They really go and work with those guys. I actually went out to Vegas with him last month, it's already been over a month, and went out there to Nellis Air Force Base and played rhythm guitar with his band for that, and our other guitar player Justin Pino went with us. It was a very, very cool experience. It was a lot different than playing a show. So you're
sure.
Music therapy. So you're working with wounded warriors. It was the Air Force and meeting these people. And one of the girls actually that was there, she has one leg, and it's a very evasive surgery. And just what she's been able to accomplish, she climbed Kilimanjaro, and it was just amazing.
Wow.
To meet these people and their determination. So it kind of puts things in a it makes any kind of problems that I have or anybody else that these people deal with a whole other level of situations and
really
struggles.
Puts things in a different perspective.
We have great our lives are pretty easy compared to what they have to deal with. So yeah, it was cool to experience that.
Fantastic. We've had a really full show here today, and I want to apologize to you because we are starting to run a little bit short on time. So we're not going to be able to stretch as long as I want, but I'd really like to ensure that when you get that album together, give me a call. Let me know ahead of time so we can get you scheduled, get you back on here, and preview the new album with you.
That would be awesome. I really appreciate it. We'll definitely do that. Thank you.
Great. You get doors always open. All you got to do is let me know, and we'll work something out for you guys. We're gonna ask you what lies ahead, because that's the next song on the playlist for today. So, that's the one we just played. I'm sorry. We're gonna go through the window. I think I've already been through the window, folks. But don't hold that against me. tell us about Through the Window.
Through the Window is it's about losing somebody that mistakes and whatnot, and regretting decisions, and then realizing they've already moved on. And but it also can be taken as a stalker song too, so that's not what it's intended. But there's a big radio guy with one of the big labels that told a friend of mine. He sent it over to him. And he said, "You tell those guys to be careful how they sing it. It sounds like a stalker song." So, but that's what it is. It's, everyone's gone through breakups or whatnot, and that's really what that song is about. So,
all right, we're going to get to that in just a few seconds. I do want to warn our listeners that the live feed of this show will probably end in about 2.5 minutes. We are going to go on and continue to close out the show, and that will be audible. You'll be able to hear that on the podcast. You can go back and catch the end of the show and find out who's going to be with us here next month. But I did want to mention one group that's going to be with us next month.
Hello, I'm David.
I'm Howard
with
the
Bellamy
Brothers,
inviting you to join us when we guest on the David Bowers Awards Sunday, July 13th.
And they will be playing their new release that I know you, if you haven't heard, you're going to want to hear. It's called Boobs. So be listening for that next month. Paul, thank you so much for being with us here today. Best to you and all of the guys. You've been so great with us, and we're always glad to have you on the show. Look forward to having you back here when that album comes out.
Oh, man, thank you so much again, Dave, for having me on. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Here they are, Dimitri's Rail, and this is Through the Window.
Saw you just the other night.
Dimitri's Rail, Through the Window. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for the show today. Thank you, audience. You've been a great audience as always. And, of course, thanks to our fabulous guest for a great show, Dimitri's Rail from Houston, Texas, who you just heard. Also from London, England, Robbie Boyd, the Sons of Rock Hall of Famers, Frankie Avalon and Eden Everly, and our Indie Artist of the Month, Rockin' Michaela. Be sure and be with us next month, when we'll have the Bellamy Brothers and lots more good stuff coming for you. We'll see you then. John Bon Jovial, take us home.
Okay, that was one hell of a show that we had today, David. I got to tell you, I just thoroughly enjoyed this. You know, I'm going to do another blatantly commercial shill for our T-shirts. Order a T-shirt, you know? Stop screwing around and just order a damn shirt from us already, will you? Thank you. It's David at thedavidbowers.com for more information on our fabulous T-shirts, or you can go to www.thedavidbowers.com and order them directly. They're fabulous. They're wonderful. They're only $14.30. So, like I said, please order a damn shirt already. We really want you to wear it. Okay. All right, well, let's see. Where are we here? We want to talk about the David Bowers Awards, which is produced by the David Bowers for Stick It In Your Ear Productions from the studios of Computer Help USA in beautiful Naples, Florida. We are available for free download on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes, and click the follow link on our Blog Talk Radio page. To get reminders of our upcoming shows and like the David Bowers on Facebook, follow on Twitter, and I think I sound like a broken record there, but just follow us because, you know, we do some cool things and we want you to know about it. Be sure to join us for the David Bowers Awards on Sunday, July 13th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, with our special guests, the Bellamy Brothers, and more indie music. Sharon Bautista is going to be debuting her first album, A Mustard Rock, and breaking hip-hop star Chris Starr, plus other stuff we haven't really planned yet, but we know it's going to be there. So until then, for the David Bowers and all the crew of Rejects here at the Asylum, this is John Bon Jovial saying later, dudes and dudettes, and thank you very much for joining us. Peace and love, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you next month. Yay!